Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, please. The book of Colossians, chapter number 3. What I'm about to do, I have never done in my ministry, if my memory serves me well, and sometimes that's a big if. But I do not believe, I have mentioned singing in services, but I do not believe that I've ever preached an entire message geared like the message is geared this morning. I don't apologize for it. It's needed. God put it in the Bible. And if God put it in the Bible, He wants us to glean from it. Amen. Look in Colossians, if you'll stand in reverence to the Word of God with me. Colossians chapter number 3. And I want to read verse 16 and verse number 17. Verse 16 and verse 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Did y'all know we're not supposed to be singing to each other? We get to enjoy it, amen. I'll say a little bit more about it later, but there was a young lady right here on the front. And I'm telling you, if she'd have come all by herself, I'd have been blessed. Say amen. Years ago, I heard a man say, preach by open letter. And he said, open your mouth and let her fly. Amen. This young lady sang with enthusiasm. And I appreciate it so very much. I believe her Lord was pleased. Amen. The Bible said, watch this, if whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You can be seated. Pray for us, please. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach this morning on the importance of singing in the house of God. The importance of singing in the house of God. Our Father, we thank You for the privilege to come in Your presence. Lord, I thank You that, Lord, though some are much more talented than others, every one of us, our Lord, that has been to Calvary, Lord, You put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God. And Lord, I think about, as I have the last few days, how the children of Israel, Lord, would go up to Jerusalem to worship and how they would sing the Psalms, our Father. And I thank You, Lord, that there's still a group of people in the world that don't want the new time way, that don't want the rock and roll concert. But Lord, they just want to sing songs that honor the Lord, that honor Lord and make us not just want to pat our feet, but Lord, they make us want to worship in our heart and in our life. Now, God, today I need Your help. I always do. But Lord, I need Your help. Lord, please help us that we might be a help. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I appreciate you being here once again today. Thank the Lord for you. In the book of Colossians here in chapter number 3, right here, kind of smack dab in the middle of the chapter, the Lord said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, I'm going to make a statement this morning. Please don't take offense to it. But there's some people, and they're genuinely saved by the grace of God. You could sing to them for an hour and go home, and they'd be tickled to death. That'd be just fine. No preaching. Amen. I mean that. And there's other people. You could preach to them for an hour and go home. Not have a choir, not have a special song, not even have a congregation, and they'd be happy. But I want you to know this book teaches a balance. Amen. We need to sing. We're God's people. God's people are a singing people. And singing in the house of God is important. It's going to help us. I'm going to share 5 areas in this chapter that singing will help us with. And I hope it'll be a blessing in your hearing today. Number 1, singing these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it helps us in our faith. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Well, in verse number 3, the Bible said here, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. How many remembers, beloved, when God took your sin and buried it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. No longer holding you accountable. So listen to me. If you're thinking about that, and that's the word of Christ, and somebody's singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, beloved, it's more than words. It's a song that honors the truth of the word of God. We're living in a generation where many are trying to rip the blood out of the book, out of the song book. But thank God, it's still the blood of Jesus. The only reason I'm going to heaven is not because I'm a preacher or a papa or a daddy or a husband that tries to do what's right, but I'm going to heaven because God took my sin and put it under the blood of his darling son and forgave me of all of it. Amen. It'll bless us in our faith when we get to singing the songs, beloved. There's faith to be forgiven. The Bible talks about, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. The Bible said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then the singing. I'm telling you, beloved, according to the word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe songs that honor God are scriptural. I believe they're spiritual. If a song's not spiritual and a song's not scriptural, listen to what I'm about to say. It don't belong in the house of God. Amen. If a man's going to stand up and give you his own ideas, he don't belong in the pulpit. We're called to preach the blessed word of God. And beloved, when we sing the songs that are birthed out of the word of God, they'll bring, beloved, help in our faith. There's that faith to be forgiven. You say, well, Pastor, God didn't have to forgive me. If you got saved, he did. And let me tell you something else. You say, well, Pastor, I wasn't too bad. You don't understand the Bible. The word of God said, beloved, if a man keeps the whole law yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. Listen to some of the stuff in this chapter. Mortify there, verse 5. The members upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For the things which sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Guess what, beloved? You may be a child of God today, but you ain't always been a child of God. There's a mess being preached in this world that we're all God's children. No, sir. We're all God's creation by our first birth. But the only way you can be God's child is to have a second birth. You must be born again. And I'm telling you, everyone that's been born again has a past. And that past is ugly. Whether you got saved, Brother Mike, like your granddaughter 10 years old, it doesn't matter, beloved. Listen, God's pronounced us all guilty for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. And the singing in the house of God will help us in our faith. Not only our faith to be forgiven, but what about our faith to forgive? Listen to me, I don't have time to go into the story this morning, but Jesus gave us a parable about someone that was forgiven much and then turned around and wouldn't forgive a little. I'm telling you, every child of God has been forgiven much. Amen. We've not been forgiven for part of our sin. We've been forgiven for all of our sin. Look what the Bible said here in this chapter. I want to begin reading in verse number 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let me say something, beloved. I'm talking about helping us in our faith. Faith that we've been forgiven, and then faith to forgive others. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Somebody get in that choir, and they're holding a grudge against somebody. You know what will happen? The precious Holy Spirit of the living God will be grieved. He'll be quenched. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, in order for singing to be what it ought to be, in order for preaching to be what it ought to be, there needs to be a forgiven spirit among the children of God. Realizing, beloved, listen, it might be me that needs to forgive today, but it might be me that needs to be forgiven tomorrow. And we're to forbear one another and to forgive one another. And this singing, beloved, in the house of God will help us in our faith. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's my favorite song. You want to know why? Some of the folks don't know this morning, but I'll tell you why. Because when I was a church member for 6.5 years before I was saved, every time they sang that song, beloved, it was just like God took a little dagger and stuck it down in my heart. There was a line in that song that said, I once was lost. When was I lost? When was I lost? You see, I just got in the church and they said, are you saved? And I said, yeah. I thought saved and believing the facts. I'd believed them all my life. I'd never been born again. Listen to me, a wretch like me, amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That song always bothered me till I got saved. Glory to God, the night God saved me, the first song that rolled off my lips on the way to tell my wife, she was home with 2 sick children, was Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And now, beloved, it doesn't prick my heart, but I thank God we have a book. Beloved, amen. And thank God singing has its place. God wouldn't have put it in the Bible if it wasn't needful, if it wasn't necessary. The importance of singing, it's important in our faith. Number two, it's important in our focus. I want you to see this with me, please. Look at verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, everybody ought to take a pen and circle the first word in this chapter, if. Because if you're not saved, it don't apply. But if you're saved, if you're risen with Christ, if you've been born again, the Bible said, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know what? I love what Brother Danny Sykes said years ago. Somebody said to him, boy, you can't build a church on singing. He said, I'll tell you something right now. It's hard to build one without it. I like that answer. Say amen. And I believe there's such a thing as a balance in the house of God. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you, beloved, listen. Listen to what the Bible said in verse 2. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. I'm telling you, beloved, if we would sing from the heart the way we ought to sing and worship God the way we ought to worship, we'd leave that mess of the world on the outside and come in here and sing those old songs, amen. And it would cause us not to look this way and not to look down. One of the things I really appreciated about the choir is they held their songbooks up there. Somebody taught them that. And they wasn't singing into the ground. They was singing unto the Lord, amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, it's a blessing to hear a song and sing a song that causes you not to want to look at the world situation, but want to look homeward. Amen. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Amen. The things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. It'll help us in our faith. It'll help us in our focus. The Bible said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. I believe singing is important, and I want to preach a little while on the importance of singing in the house of God, in our faith and in our focus. I read this and I thought it was good. Listen to this. When I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. Tenor, I'm going to try my best. Luciano Pavarotti. I got it right, I believe. He relates this. He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. Arago Pola, a professional tenor in my hometown of Medina, Italy, took me as a pupil. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. On graduating, I asked my father, shall I be a teacher or a singer? Luciano, my father replied, if you try to sit on 2 chairs, you will fall between them. for life, you must choose one chair. I chose one. It took years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. It took another 7 to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now I think whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment. That's the key. Choose one chair. You know what? God spoke to my heart when I read that. You know why we don't have the church services we used to have? I'll tell you why. We're trying to sit in 2 chairs and we're falling between them. We're coming in here so burdened down with the cares of this life and the things of this world, amen. We're not focused on the things of God. And good singing ought to turn our attention, amen, towards the Lord, amen, that bought us and paid for us with His own precious blood. The importance of singing in the house of God, in our faith, in our focus. And then I want you to see this in our fervency. You remember Laodicea, Jesus said, I would that you were cold or hot. You know, to be fervent means you're hot. Amen. You're excited about what God's given you to sing. Amen. What God's given you to do in life. And He said, but because you're lukewarm, I'm telling you, beloved, I've walked back through the congregation before. You can get mad at me if you want to. But amen, there's enough mumbling going on in the world. We ought to sing. Amen. Well, you say, Pastor, I don't have that gift. I don't either, but I'm going to open letter. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's coming from my heart, and the Holy Ghost will interpret it before it gets to the throne room of God, and it'll be a blessing to my Savior. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, we ought to sing with... Look at verse... Where'd you get that, Pastor? What? Look at verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, is singing a deed? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Look down here with me, if you will, at verse number 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. That's how we ought to sing. We ought to sing heartily. Listen, not unto men, but we ought to sing unto the Lord. Amen. And we ought to do it fervently. I read this, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Here's a man, while walking along a busy street one day, I heard someone singing. His sweet voice was distinguishable, even above the noise of the traffic. When I located him, I noticed that he had no legs and was pushing himself through the crowd in a wheelchair. Catching up with him, I said, I want you to know, friend, that to hear singing from a person in your condition gives everyone else a lift. He answered with a grateful smile. When I stopped at what I had lost, he said, and began concentrating on all I had left, I found much more that I could rejoice and be happy. You know what we ought to do? We ought to just stop every once in a while. Some of us are getting up in years. We've lost our flexibility. Say amen. Something falls on the floor, I bend over. And with that bend over comes, oh. And then getting back up, it's worse. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, but you think about, no, yeah, we've lost some flexibility. We've lost some of our health, amen. Many in this room that are up in years and we can't do what we used to do. Brother Wayne, I would have been honored to play golf with you, amen, but I wouldn't have quit until I could have beat you. Say amen. That might have been before Jesus come, and it might not have been, amen, but I would have been honored, amen, but we can't do what we used to do. But I tell you what we don't need to do. We don't need to concentrate on that in the past. Say amen. Concentrate on what we can't do. We need to concentrate on what God has given us. Honey, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. One day I'm going to raise up and have a new body like unto the Son of God. I'm not going to, my friend, listen, dwell. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before. I'm going to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In our fervency, there was a young lady. She was right here, if anybody watched her. Her name is Isabella. Where you at, Isabella? Is your mom and dad here, honey? Who's your mom and dad? Boy, you got to be proud of that baby. Amen. If you ever get tired of her, just hand her over to me and Miss Eve. Amen. We'll feed her. We'll give her a good place to sleep. We'll take her home. Amen. We'll get her an ice cream, Isabella. Honey, what you are a perfect picture of what God is saying right here about doing it heartily as unto the Lord. And Brother Cody, our church will tell you, I've said that about Brother Junior over and over and over. He's not half-hearted. He can't do what he used to do, but what he does it with all of his heart, don't he, Brother Dale? Amen. He puts all of it into it, and many others do the same, and we thank God for it. In our fervency, it'll help us, the importance of singing in the house of God. And then in our families, it'll help us. You know, how many remembers when the home used to be a singing home? How many remembers when the dishes weren't a drudgery, but they were a delight? When a woman would stand and wash in dishes. And now listen to me. Women didn't used to wash clothes like this. That ain't how it used to work. Somebody say amen. Oh no, it's down at the creek. And it... Now it's sad when somebody can sing doing this and they can't sing doing this. My wife told me some time ago, years ago actually, she said, honey, if anything ever happens to me, she said, pick you one out at the funeral home. Don't go home without her. The other day, my grandchildren came in and their mom had sent some cinnamon rolls. I said, glory to God, I can do that. Amen. I used to cook them biscuits. I'm telling you, we were poor coming up. A treat for us was to take a can of those biscuits, put them in there, and just sprinkle some cinnamon and sugar on top of them. I'm making you hungry, ain't I? Amen. And that was a treat for us. Amen. We didn't have Oreos and chocolate chips and all that. So I said, I can do this. And then I got to looking at this thing. Now, Mama's old stove, you just turned it up there to 350. Amen. And it started heating up. These things got timers. They got lights. And I said, youngins, I'm in trouble. I'm going to have to call Mama. Mama was at the grocery store. I said, honey, how do I preheat this oven? And she told me. I said, okay, got it. The preheat went off. Beep, beep, beep. That means it's ready to put them cinnamon rolls in there. And I said, youngins, okay, it's time. Miss Eve, how do I set this timer? I honest to God, she said, I told you, if anything ever happens to me, pick you one out at the funeral home. Don't go home without her. Amen. It's pitiful, ain't it, Jennifer? Amen. It's pitiful, honey. That's all right. Amen. I'm enjoying life. But if we can't sing, turning the knobs, there's something wrong in our heart. I still remember, listen to me, I still remember mowing grass with one of these. You say you are old. Almost older than dirt, but not quite. I remember doing that. But I'm telling you, you may not think I'm telling the truth, but I'm telling you the truth. We had a sidewalk where we moved to when we moved out of the old farmhouse that had been turned into a barn when I was a young'un. And we had a pair of things that looked like giant scissors. And that's what you got down and clipped along the sidewalk with. That's what you clipped around the bushes with. And all I'm telling you is, beloved, listen, old timers had to work a whole lot harder and had a lot more song in their heart than what we've got with all these modern conveniences. It's sad. It's sad. We ought to be worshiping the Lord in our families. You say, where'd you get that in the text? Well, look at it in verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Isn't it something that God put singing right in the middle of all this? He put it right in the middle of the family, right in the middle of the house of God. Amen. It'll help us in our faith. It'll help us in our focus. It'll help us in our fervency. And it'll help us in our families. Someone said, as the home goes, so goes the church. And as the church goes, so goes the nation. I want to say this. Is it any wonder we're in the mess we're in? Amen. We ought to have a song in our heart unto the Lord. And then the last thing I'll give you in the message today is this. The importance of singing in the house of God. It helps us in our faith. It helps us in our focus. It helps us in our fervency. It helps us in our families. By the way, I told this story a little while back. I want to tell this and I'll get to the last thing and we'll be done. We'll be finished. Correct English. I married an English teacher. God help me. Amen. There was a man that was a drunkard. Damascus, Virginia. And some people get mellow when they get drunk. And some people get mean when they get drunk. But God said, don't get drunk. Amen. This man's wife got saved. And he'd fuss. And I don't know, this is one of your words out of Virginia, Brother Jason. He'd swarp around. I guess you spell that S-W-A-R-P. That's the way I'd spell it. Amen. He'd swarp around. And you know what she'd do? She'd light in on the song, I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day where all the troubles and heartaches have vanished away. It took several months, but old Doug got in. Doug got born again. Doug played the guitar, and him and his wife would sing in the house of God. But the singing didn't start in the house of God, it started the house. Amen. I really believe, beloved, we'll see revival if we can get that revival back at the house. Amen. And not come to the house of God looking for revival, but come for the house of God carrying revival. Amen. Bringing it with us. Amen. And our families. Then the last thing I see right here, it'll help us to see our future. These spiritual songs, spirit-led songs, spirit-filled songs will help us to see our future. Look at verse 4 with me, please. When Christ, who is our life, is He your life this morning? Did you know without Him, I would still be dead in trespasses and in sin? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Brother Dale, I believe one of the songs, it is not my favorite, but it's one of my favorites, is What a Day That Will Be. For two reasons, the message in the song. I love those words, my Jesus. You see, the Bible teaches that Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Amen. He's the great shepherd. But our favorite shepherd ought to be Psalm 23:1. He's my shepherd. All those others don't mean anything if he's not yours, if it's not personal. The Lord is my shepherd. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. I'm not fussing or not picking at the song, but this is what I believe. I believe I'm going to want to see his feet before I see his face. I get that from John. When John saw him, the Bible said he fell at his feet. He's dead. I always feel lacking in the area of worship. But I tell you, on that day, I'm not going to lack anything. I'm going to be able to worship him the way he ought to be worshiped. Amen. In our future, the Bible said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I want you to think about this. We visited last week and we've been in some hospitals. We've been in some nursing homes. We've been with some people that's had a stroke. People that can't even get out of the chair anymore and wait on themselves. But where we're going, youngins, that's what these songs do. They point us toward home. I love that old song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. It helps us to see our future, a place where there's no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. The former things, the Word of God said, are passed away. Amen. And our Lord said, behold. How many of y'all like something new? How many of you likes a new car? Or, amen. Or a new dress? Or a new suit? or a new pair of shoes. I hesitate to say that most of the time. They hurt me when I first get them. Say amen. I have to break them in. But we all like stuff that's new, don't we? You just wait till you see what the Lord's got for you. Amen. Years ago, a man right here in town, his name was Fred. And my sister was Fred's caretaker. Fred had been paralyzed in an automobile accident from here down. I mean, he had to be, it was like a motor, it would remind you of what you would lift a motor out of a vehicle. There was a lift in the house and there was a sling that went under his body and you brought it up and it had metal hooks and you jacked it up like that. You jacked it up and it picked Fred up off the bed and you turned it around like that and then you let that little valve off and it let him down slowly into his wheelchair. Fred was bitter. He was so bitter. Because of the wreck, because of being paralyzed. But my mama loved him. My sister loved him. And mama would witness to him. And mama would sing to him. And I'm glad to tell you that before Fred passed away, Fred said yes to Jesus. Fred's nickname was Frog. Mom was, her name's Catherine, and he called her Cat. Frog and Cat had many conversations together. Amen. One day, Frog said to Cat, said, Cat, you reckon Jesus will let me have a golden wheelchair? And Cat said to Frog, Frog, honey, you don't understand. Where we're going, there ain't no wheelchairs golden or otherwise. We're going to walk down streets of pure, transparent gold and worship the Lord that saved us by His marvelous grace. Brother Dale, we're going to sing Amazing Grace in the invitation. But before we sing, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your head with me. And I want to ask you if you know the Lord and you have unhindered access to the throne of God, would you pray for those in this room that have not yet experienced God's amazing grace? Would you pray for them right now? If your heart is not fervent, if you have grown cold, I want you to know God can warm your heart today. He can revive your spirit today. Beloved, I thank God for His amazing grace. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. And I want everybody around you to hear you sing unto the Lord. I want them to believe that you really, really, really love the Lord and want to honor Him as you sing. Let's sing unto Him. Father, thank You today for the Word of God. Thank You, God, that it dwells in our hearts and we can sing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto Thee. I pray today in this invitation, God, that You would prick someone's heart the way You did my heart, Lord. May the Holy Spirit lead them not to flee from that amazing grace, but to run to the amazing grace of God. God will give You glory. Let's stand. We're going to sing together.